I like to be prayed for before I preach and share. So I want to pray for these guys as well. Father, I come before you today. And Lord, I pray for Dylan and Carson, Cody, Josiah, anyone else who may be sharing today. And I just ask, oh Father, that you would just be with them. And God, that you'd give them words. And Lord, your word said, let the churches hear what the Spirit says to us. So give us ears. What you're telling us today through these young men. In Jesus' name.
So this year I got to be on the kitchen duties team. So that was really interesting. I've never done that before. And I got to meet a lot of different church members from around Oregon as we were like serving tables and waiting on all the other campers. And it was really nice. Our life change group would always kind of secure the table, one of the tables that I was always at. So I always knew that one of my tables was going to be Matt and Josiah and Laura and my brothers and another church of Tillamook Christian Center. They would always try and get one of my tables too. So that made it really nice for a beginner kind of serving tables. We prayed a lot together on this trip, and it's really encouraged me and challenged me to be in prayer more by myself. And I really thank God for that. And I'm excited to see where he leads with that.
So on this trip, I've learned quite a bit and really began to improve in my faith. And I would like to start this off by thanking everybody who got us the money to go to this trip, because if it weren't for this trip, I don't know if I would be as secure in my faith as I am right now. So I want to thank everybody here for that. God really worked a lot in this trip. There was some incredible things that happened there spiritually, just past the fun and games. God has been really putting on my heart something I feel like I have to share with you guys on this camp, and especially just over the past few weeks. And that is that I feel like the church is beginning to get too attached to our comfort and not enough on the focus that God has for us. On this trip, God revealed to me that he wants me to be a missionary. And I don't want to make it about me, but God has told me that there is a purpose for everyone in this building and every Christian that there is. And by us clinging to our comfort and clinging to our homes, we aren't getting that goal that we have. And I think we really need to focus on praying and being in the Spirit for what God has for us, because he has a plan for every one of us. And we aren't going to help the world if we're just sitting in our comfort zones. That's really all I have to say. But
I don't have a whole lot to say, but I will say that God did reveal some things in my life that I wasn't quite aware of before, and I feel like our relationship between our small youth group was strengthened, and I feel like we're closer now, and that's about it.
Well, I guess I'm thankful that I got to go, and I'm glad that with our youth group, we're all, like, yeah, it was a lot of fun there, and we, with our youth group, got a lot closer. I got to know my friends a lot better, and I'm thankful for that, and so I don't have much to say either, so, Yes, that's the idea.
Yes. Did you want to share, Matt? Okay.
Oh, no. Someone's got to keep grabbing. So it's the luck of the draw.
Yes, they.
And I was just going to say, unless you guys want to say something. I tried. But I just want to thank everybody who gave so that these boys could go. And it was impressive to see. There was about 300 people, 350, that went. And now that everybody's starting to lose their fear of COVID, there's going to be more of these. And they've actually, this one we went to, they've already got theirs planned for next year. And it's already set in place, and we're definitely going to be going. But to those of you who have not been to one of these events, it is awesome. You get to see the Holy Spirit like move. In fact, he's moving so strong, you almost have to step out of the way because he's just knocking you aside. I just thank God because I got to see the way he was working in these four and also in those two back there. I kind of kept an eye on them too, out of the corner of my eye. But I do thank him for the way that he was moving. And this was in all the youth that was there. And even in the youth leaders, you got to see just God moving in a mighty way. And like the song that we sang, there's a lot of this world trying to influence our kids today. And this is where we got to draw the line. And we got to start teaching our youth about God. Because if we don't, we will lose them. And once we lose them, that's it. It's over. So after service today, we're going to have a little youth planning party. And I invite all the youth that are here to please come to it. Because we're going to talk about what we're going to do in the future, where we're going to go from here, and the different events that are coming up. So, and just in case, we are having pizza. So don't worry, you're not going to starve. So anyways, thank you.
I guess I might as well. So I was the only girl. Go figure. I slept with the kitchen staff, so that was kind of interesting. But, you know, I want you as a church to know that these boys just blessed my heart, because when other kids were sitting there playing, our boys were in their room doing a Bible study outside of when the speaker was speaking on their own, you know. They also helped me up a mountain, very big mountain. But they have such a heart for God that we just need to cherish that. We need to come around that. We need to nurture that. We need to be there for them, you know, and not just in prayer, but we need to be there for them indeed. You know, like Josiah said, we need to bust out of our comfort zone, because our comfort zone isn't where the lost are. It's not where they are. We need to go to them. He said, go into all the world. Whew, sorry. Getting a little preachy. There we go.
Thank you, Laura. So you will get to hear me. thank you, guys. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Matt and Laura, for taking them. We've not always had. Yeah. So, by the way, if any of you youth are watching on Zoom, if you'll be here about 12:15 or so, you can participate in the pizza party. And David, you and Riley are welcome to stick around too, okay? And because you're part of us as well. And so, we've been talking about the blessings of God. But did you know that it's possible for the blessings of God to either stop or be minimized in a person's life? And so what I would like to do today is to talk about what causes the blessings of God to either stop or be minimized in a person's life. I think this is important for all of us. All of you boys who went to camp were blessed, okay, in a tremendous way. A lot of times when we think about the blessings of God, perhaps your mind goes to material things. Maybe your mind goes to financial things. Maybe your mind goes to a lot of different areas. But what the greatest blessings of God is what these boys and youth leaders experienced this last weekend. And so we need to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to address these issues. We need to allow the Lord to continue to bless us. We at this church are tremendously blessed in a lot of different ways. God has poured out his blessings upon us, but it's also possible for us to hinder him from blessing us. And I don't want us to ever get to a place where God says, I can't bless Life Change Christian Fellowship anymore. And so we're going to talk about these areas. There are several reasons why a person may be able not to have the blessings that God has put upon them or wants to put upon them. I'm going to list five for you and then speak about each one. I won't get it through all five today, okay? We might get through one. So, if in your life, and this goes for every culture, it goes, I could preach this in Haiti, I could preach this in Bengal, I could preach this in China, and it's for every people group, okay? So if you've realized that you are not receiving the blessings of the Lord that used to come upon you and that you used to receive, one of the questions you might want to ask is this a test from the Lord? Is this a test from the Lord? Because sometimes the Lord does test us. I'm not going to preach on that one today. The second one is this an attack from the enemy? Is this an attack from the enemy? Again, it's probably good to keep this in your Bible. And when things start going, I don't really like to use the word south because that's where I'm from. But when things don't go the way they used to go, and the way that you've used to have blessings, then ask yourself, is this an attack from the enemy? The third one is there sin in my life that I need to turn from? The fourth one is the Lord trying to get my attention? He will. Is he trying to get my attention to make me cause, maybe change direction in the way that I'm going? And the last one is, you know, sometimes life just happens. Yeah, sometimes it's just the way it is. And so there are times, and Scripture says that it rains on the just and the unjust as well. And so those are the five questions that you need to ask. And I'm going to go back. And today I just want to talk about, is this an attack from the enemy? Is this an attack from the enemy? Because the enemy will try to steal what the Lord has shown you or given you. And young people, how many in here have ever really gone to an event such as these guys went and really felt the Spirit of the Lord? And you felt a transformation and turnaround and you said, man, this is the greatest event that's ever happened in my life. But then somewhere along the way, you lost the zeal, fervency, the connection that you felt during that event. Scripture says in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, or have it more abundantly. So here's what I want to approach you about today, is that the Lord is going to try to steal from you what the enemy is going to try to steal from you what the Lord has given you, okay? He's going to try to steal from you what was generated in your life this past week. Elijah was a mighty prophet from the Lord. There were very few prophets who had the power that Elijah had. If you remember some of his story, he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. He raised a young man from the dead. He did a lot of wonderful, powerful things in his ministry. When that famine was going on, now listen, when there's a famine going on, he prays for a famine in the land of Israel. He also had to go through the famine. But somehow, God provided for him. Scripture tells us that he went by the brook Chinnereth and he was camping out there. And every day, God would send, he'd tell a bird, "Bird, go steal that bread off the king's plate," or wherever he got it. "Go steal that food." And I guess it was a robbing bird, I don't know. But he would go steal this food and then drop it at Elijah's campsite. And so Elijah had plenty of food. Then God said that the brook dried up. And so Elijah's like, "What do I do now?" And God tells him, "I want you to go down to a certain place, tell a widow lady that she has to fix you a food, fix you some food." He goes and he talks to her and he tells her, "Hey, would you fix me a piece of cornbread?" And she says, "You know what? I just have enough cornmeal for my son and myself for one meal. Just enough oil to make this cornbread patty. We're going to eat it, and then we're going to die." And that prophet says, "Fix me one first." Yeah, the nerve of that guy. "Fix me one first." She says, "Okay." There's something about that kind of heart. Something about that kind of heart that the Lord loves. That's why he told Elijah to go to her. Something about that kind of heart who's willing to give all to help someone else. So she fixed him one first. She went back to fix her son and herself some, and there was more oil and more cornmeal. And so every day, the remainder of the drought, there was plenty of meal, plenty of oil for Elijah, for the widow, and for her son. Isn't that incredible? You know, sometimes we worry about whether or not God's going to provide for us. But if we can learn this lesson, that God will continue to provide as long as our heart is in the right place. Okay? If she had been stingy, they would have starved to death. I guarantee you, they would have starved to death. So Elijah was one of the big things that he did, if you remember, Elijah was up on a mountain, and there was this competition between the Baals of the prophet of Baal, and also between God and the prophets of Baal. And Elijah said this to the prophets of Baal, "I tell you what," and the reason he said this is because Israel couldn't decide who was the real God. It had gotten that deplorable in the land of Israel. They didn't know if Baal was God, if Jehovah was God. And so to prove that Jehovah was God, Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "I want you to come out here, and I want you to make an altar to your Baal God, and I want you to, we're going to see which God is real, and so you pray to your God, and if the God who answers by fire, and consumes the altar, that's the true God. And of course, Israel, you know, the people of Israel were gathered around, and prophets of Baal were gathered around, and they started hollering and crying and praying to their God, Baal, answer by fire. And they would cut themselves and bleed everywhere. And Elijah's just sitting back. He said, hey, you better holler a little louder. Maybe he's going on a journey. Maybe he's using the toilet. You better cut yourself some more. You're not dedicated enough. Cut yourself. And boy, there was blood going everywhere. And they did this all day long. And Baal never answered by fire. So just before the evening time for the evening sacrifice, Elijah goes out and he starts repairing an altar that once had been an altar to the Lord. He puts the stones together. He digs a trench around the altar and he starts pouring water on the wood. He starts pouring water in the ditch. And at the time of the evening sacrifice, he says, God, prove to these people that I'm your servant. And God, prove to these people that you're the true God. And all of a sudden, fire came down, consumed the sacrifice, consumed the altar, licked up the water, and God showed himself powerful in the land of Israel. A wonderful outpouring of God's Spirit, a marvelous mountaintop experience for Elijah. And then he heard a whisper. Somebody told him, Jezebel is going to kill you. When he heard that, he turned to fear. He turned to depression. He had anxiety. And he took off running. In 1 Kings 19, Ahab, who was there with the Baal prophets, told Jezebel. Now, you remember Jezebel. She was not a very nice lady. Ahab, who was there with the prophets, told Jezebel everything. And one of the things I forgot to mention is that Elijah had all of the Baal prophets killed. Okay, every one of them was killed. Well, that was Jezebel's individuals that were offering her sacrifices. And so she was kind of upset. And she told her messenger, send Elijah this message and tell him that I'm going to do to you exactly what you did to my prophets. And so Elijah is fearful. He takes off running. He went a day's journey in the desert. He came to a broom tree and sat down under it and he prayed that he might die. God, just kill me. I've had enough. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. So listen to me. The Lord does something great in your life. The enemy's going to try to steal it. Okay? And he will try to steal it through fear. He will try to steal it through lies. God did something marvelous at this camp. And the enemy's going to come in and he's going to try to say to you, well, was that really God? Did God really say to you, Josiah, that you need to be a missionary? Did God really say to you that there are some things you're going to have to give up in your life to be a close follower of me? Did God really say that? See, that's what happened to Eve in the garden. Did God really say? And so what it does, it causes confusion. It causes doubt. And pretty soon, if we listen to the confusion, we listen to the whispers, we listen to the doubt, we listen to the fear, pretty soon we're back to the same place we were before the mountaintop experience. Elijah was a mighty man of God. There was very few like him. And yet he began listening to the wrong voice. And he fell into depression. I mean, he has some tremendous emotional experiences, things that the Lord did in his life. But you must remember, you have to build on what you just experienced. You need to write down what the Lord told you. You need to refer back to that as often as you need to. And when the questions start arising, you need to go back to your journal and say, well, this is what God said. This is what God said. This is what God did. I remember that. Refer back as often as you need to and build upon the foundation that the Lord gave you this last weekend. So Elijah was in the pit. He was having a pity party. He was depressed. And the Lord sent an angel. And this is basically what the Lord told him. The Lord gave him food to eat. Let him rest a while. But then he said, Elijah, get back in the game. Get back in the game. Don't listen to the empty threats. Don't listen to the words of the enemy. Because empty threats will steal your joy and steal your peace just as quickly as real threats will. Don't listen to them. So I want to ask you a question. What do you fear the most? The enemy uses fear most often to keep us from going forward in relationship, to keep us from going forward in the work that the Lord has called us to do. And oftentimes, fear hinders us from moving forward in that relationship with God. And this is for the church. This is not just for the youth who went. But what's keeping you from taking the next step? What's hindering you? You know what God would have you do. What's hindering you from taking that next step and following him into what he's asked you to do? Have you ever felt like your prayers just hit the ceiling and didn't go any further? Did you know that Satan wants to steal your prayers? And did you know that Satan wants to hinder you from being able to be a prayer? That's the one thing he hates, is praying Christians. And perhaps there's no one in all of Scripture who was more dedicated to the Lord than Daniel. He received visions. He received dreams. He was told dreams. And Daniel was able to interpret these dreams, and God had his hand on Daniel. Daniel was one who was greatly loved by God. That's what an angel told him. You are greatly loved by God. I wish the Lord would, and I know he does that, but wouldn't that be nice to hear? You are greatly beloved by God. And one of the things that we know about Daniel is that when he prayed, he got his prayers answered. Okay, and usually it didn't take very long for him to get his prayers answered. But there was an occasion once whenever we're told in Scripture, where Satan tried to stop Daniel from praying. So Daniel was praying, and he was warned by the king, don't pray, I'm going to throw you in a lion's den. What did Daniel do? He just kept praying. He opened the window. Not so everybody could see him, but he just wanted to know, hey, listen, I'm not going to let you steal this relationship with God. I'm not going to let you do it. So he was warned, and then he was threatened. Daniel, if you do this one more time, I'm going to I'll throw you in the lion's den. He said, okay. You know what he did? He started praying. And so they threw him in the lion's den. Satan tried to keep him from praying. Anything to keep him from praying, because Daniel's prayers were powerful. Another occasion, Daniel was praying, and I told you that usually his prayers get answered pretty quickly. But there's one time he started praying and fasting, and he prayed for 7 days and didn't get an answer. He prayed for 14 days, didn't get an answer. Prayed for 20 days. Didn't get an answer. But on the 21st day, an angel of the Lord came and spoke to him. This is what he said. In chapter 10, verse 12 through 14, the angel said, Daniel, don't be afraid. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. And I have come to answer your prayer. So, the moment Daniel began to pray, God heard his prayer and sent an answer. Why didn't Daniel get the answer? A lot of times we pray and kind of give up after the third strike. Okay? But Daniel didn't quit praying. He just kept on praying. I don't know how long he would have prayed and fasted if he hadn't got his answer. But he wasn't going to give up. And this is what he said, this angel. He said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven, and I've come in answer to your prayer. For 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Now, that's a spiritual battle going on. So the enemy is trying to hinder the prayers from being answered that Daniel has requested for 21 days prior. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Daniel's praying, Daniel's praying, Daniel's praying. Asking for an answer. Now, what the answer was or what the question was, he had been reading in the book of Jeremiah, and there was a prophecy there that he didn't understand. And he's like, man, I need understanding in this. And so he's asking the Lord, Lord, would you give me understanding? And it's silent. There's no voice that says, no, I'm not going to give you understanding. There's no, yes, that's coming. It was just silent. The heavens were silent. And Daniel's like, man, what's going on? I usually get something. And the heavens were silent. And so he keeps on praying, Lord, what about this prophecy? I don't understand it. Heavens are silent. Day 21, Michael, he says, the kingdom of Persia blocked my way, but then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. So Michael is like, I got to go deliver this guy. This maybe Gabriel. I've got to go deliver this messenger so that he can get that message to Daniel. And so here Michael is, and he and the spirit are having a war. And I'm sure Michael won. Okay, he's a tough dude. I know that when we see Michael, we're going to be fearful. Okay, I kind of know that just because of his intensity. He's a warring angel. He's not any panty wasted. Hesitated to say that, but I couldn't. Nothing else came to mind. But he's not a mealy mouth. He does business. And so Michael came to deliver this messenger from the prince of Persia, so that he could tell Daniel what was going on. Now let me just say this: whenever you're praying and you don't get an answer, don't just quit. You know, there have been times I prayed and God says, no, I'm not going to answer that prayer. And okay, then I'll move on to something else. But there are sometimes I pray and it's silent. I want to be like Daniel. That when there's silence, that I just keep on praying and keep on praying and keep on praying till I get an answer. There are three answers. Either yes, no, or wait. I get a lot of that. Okay? I get a lot of that. Yes, no, or wait. And it's okay to have, at least you know your God heard your prayer. And there's a good time for everything, okay? But when you don't get anything, you need to just keep praying and keep pressing in and keep pressing in. So Satan hindered the prayer of Daniel. I want you to pray like your life depends on it. I want you to pray like others' lives depend on it. So in closing, was there ever a time in your life that you felt closer to the Lord than you do now? What stole that closeness from you? Who stole that closeness from you? Have your blessings gone to just a trickle now? Have they stopped altogether? Are you receiving the fullness of the blessings that the Lord has for you? If you feel like that there's more the Lord wants to give you and you're not receiving it, then you need to ask yourself these five questions. You need to ask the Lord these five questions. And then you need to take action about what to do about it. Okay? So next week, we will look at some of these other issues that can cause the stop of the flow of blessings. Okay? We're going to have a time of invitation. I told you at the beginning that there are some questions you need to ask yourself. What is this? What is the Lord saying to me? And what has been spoken by these youth? What has been spoken by myself? By what has been spoken by some of our Bible study leaders? What's the Lord saying to me? And then the second thing is, what am I going to do about it? How will this apply? How can I apply this to my life? Father, I come before you today. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your encouragement. And Lord, I thank you that we don't have to allow the enemy to steal any more blessings. But God, you are more powerful than anyone, anything. And God, that your name is great. And Lord, there's power in serving you. There's power in being blessed by you. And so, Father, I come before you. Lord, I pray that there's anyone here today who's not receiving all that you have for them. And Lord, I pray that you would let them know that and Lord, where they can get that addressed. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.